Two former members of Congress recently appeared at the University of Wyoming with former Senator Al Simpson talking about partisan politics and problems with Congress. Former Democratic U.S. Representative Brian Beard from Washington and former Republican Representative from Wisconsin Scott Klug say the public is frustrated, and most members of Congress are frustrated as well, but both differ on the fixes. We begin our conversation with Representative Baird saying how executive orders like the ones President Trump is fond of are taking away power from Congress.
What do you think about, and Obama did a lot of this, President Bush did a lot of this, Clinton obviously with the roadless rule did a lot of this. I mean, it just seems like the presidents have gained a lot of power and taken it away from Congress.
Yeah, I think they have. You know, most people don't even care or know the difference between Article 1, 2, and 3 of the Constitution. But Article 1 is the Congress, and that's purposeful. The framers did not necessarily believe in an incredibly powerful central office of the president. They believed the legislative branch should be where legislation is made. You know, you watch the debates, and everybody's talking about, this is my policy on health care, or this is my policy on taxes. Nuts to you. That has to go through the Congress. You don't get to just say this is how healthcare is going to be. And I think, unfortunately, both parties have tended to abdicate too much responsibility and given that over to the president. And we need to take a lot of it back and actually have a deliberative body that makes the laws.
Old fight, just more sharply in focus now, I think. If you go all the way back to Andrew Jackson, Congress wanted to establish a national bank, and they allocated money, and Andrew Jackson put the money in regional banks where he wanted to. So it's a long-standing fight and a strong American tradition. But I think since the advent of mass communication, television, and radio, the president's really become the central focus. It's who everybody thinks of as leading the United States. And there's this natural tension. And as Brian said, there's a lot in the Constitution about what Congress does, and there's very little about what the executive's responsibilities are. But in that vacuum, the presidents throughout the years, Republican and Democrat, have just grabbed more and more and more. But part of it also, I think it's the president acting because Congress won't act. So to get anything done, sometimes you just have to do it that way. But I'm with Brian. I mean, I think the legislature needs to be more forceful to limit the powers of the president and to actually articulate the policy, which they're not doing now.
If I might, there is some positive news, and I should have mentioned it earlier, on the congressional front. There's a bipartisan committee called the Committee for the Modernization of the Congress. It's led by a Democrat and Republican. They respect one another. They work together. They make sure that initiatives that come out of this, it's a select committee that comes out of this, have bipartisan support. And the whole goal is to try to find ways to make Congress as an institution work better for the good of the people. And that is about not only making Congress itself function, but also regaining some of the legitimate constitutional authority of Congress. So there's some positive steps being made, but those don't get the attention.
I think one of the problems is you also have so many hot button issues, and let me just throw one, your guy's direction, and it's the Affordable Care Act. We all know it needs work at best. It does provide health insurance to some people, but it's certainly, I always expected there'd be a lot of amendments, some fixes to that, and it's just never happened. How do you get to this health care solution that people are craving for?
Well, and it's actually, I think, at the heart of a lot of what's going on in Washington right now. And you're torn in different directions. So Republicans have been on the repeal it, without any explanation of what follows. So sort of their worst nightmare would be if it actually got repealed, because there'd be a transition period and people would have more trouble than they have right now. On the other hand, you've got this huge fight in the Democratic caucus where most Democrats who are like Brian want to see amendments to the Affordable Care Act. And you've got the progressive wing now who wants to throw it all out, replace private insurance, and go completely to a public option. So I wish I had an easy answer for you. There isn't one, but this was a huge fight when I was in office. So I was around during the, you know, we go to the State of the Union addresses, which most people watch 15 minutes of and then go on to something else. And you're in the chamber and you have to sit through it. And so I was in office for 8 years. I remember two of them, when the Iraq War ended and George Bush Sr. got a huge standing ovation. And I remember Bill Clinton standing up and saying, this is your health insurance card. You'll have it. It's the only thing you'll ever need for health care. And I was actually on the committee that did the Hillary Clinton plan. And I remember that, how complicated that was. So, you know, that's all the way back to 1990, 1992. It's been bubbling for years. It's a complicated issue. I think Congress is going to have to figure out a way to address it, because the expenses just keep climbing. And I think what really is out there now, if you're a hospital and you get Medicare payments, you lose money. If you're a hospital, you get Medicaid payments, you lose money, because they don't even cover the cost. And what's kept the sector alive is the public sector, which has provided health insurance. And I think a lot of large companies now are starting to say, wait a minute, this isn't what we should be doing. And as they cut people's benefits and people have higher and higher deductibles, you know, people thought you go to the doctor and you pay $20 for a visit. People are now getting copays of thousands of dollars because they didn't understand what their policy said. So I think as the private sector contributions to healthcare begin to diminish, then I think there's going to be a real crisis that's going to lead to an overhaul.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think Scott's right. I mean, you know, for years the Republicans said let's start with status quo before. So 40 plus million Americans had no health insurance. Many others were just a job change away. If your kid had a pre-existing condition, your ability to get new health insurance was significantly blocked. And if you were a small business person, it was very hard to buy on the open market because you didn't have a risk pool to be part of. So all of those things existed before Obamacare. And there, like it or not, there was a need to do something. 40 million Americans not getting health insurance. Scott's right, prices were skyrocketing. So Obamacare wasn't perfect, but they cut the number of uninsured people by half, banned discrimination against pre-existing conditions, and in fact bent the curve on costs. People don't realize it, but the inflation rate of medical costs has gone down since Obamacare relative to other what it had been before. Does it need to be modified? For sure. And I agree with Scott. I think the whole push by some Democrats, though by no means all, for Medicare for all at the expense of the private insurance sector is a terrible mistake. People should have choices. We should be able to say, have a government option. If the government really can provide it more efficiently, you can choose that. But if you've got a health care plan that you like, you should be able to stay into that. The Republicans right now are making the terrible mistake of saying, we're going to get rid of Obamacare, which means taking 20 million people off health insurance with nothing to replace it. The Democrats mathematically are making a dumber mistake, which is let's take 200 million people and tell them we're going to take their health care. But not all Democrats are doing that. And on top of that, remember, even if Senator Warren or Sanders were to become president, they can't just do this. It has to pass the Congress. And they're not going to be able to just wave a magic presidential wand and take away your health insurance.
Is there hope on the horizon?
There absolutely is hope. People still love this great constitutional democratic republic we have. Good people are serving in office. Cynicism is a way to empower dictators. And when we become cynical and we become divided, whether that's on any lines that are we're trying to divide right now, that empowers Putin, that empowers other people, and we just can't do that. We've got to find ways to reunite as a people, to set aside some of the divisions to find the common ground. And we can do that, but we're going to need to support people who are willing to do that, not just support the people who throw bombs from our side at their side.
Yeah, I think people need to stay optimistic. I mean, we've got plenty of issues and plenty of problems, but it's still the best country in the world. And the reason it works is because the American public is still in control of it. So I think it's easy to get cynical about politics. Look, I was a journalist before I was a politician, so cynicism runs pretty deep in my veins. But I think, you know, you scratch a cynic and you find a romantic. And so at the end of the day, we all have to hope the system works, because if it doesn't, it'll be a sad story for the world.
Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.